Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling on this Thursday. You'll need that air conditioner to work today. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now, springhillac.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, now Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, good morning. How we doing?
Good, good. Good music you're playing there.
Yeah, this is right up your alley, man. This is your wheelhouse, the old number one.
I don't think it was a coincidence that that was played.
Probably not.
I'm going to say I doubt Max just plucked that one out of thin air.
No, that's true. And Terry, at some point, maybe not today, but he is ready at all times to give you the argument that the Knack is not a one-hit wonder band, that they have a lot of good stuff in their portfolio.
That is true.
Yep. It's a good conversation. We'll save it for 2039. Terry,
they'll still be playing My Sharona in 2039. I'm not sure they'll play any other Knack songs, though.
Oh, gosh.
I think Burke Nyhill has been speaking with the Sports Authority on the new stadium. It seems like things are moving in the right direction and maybe should have some closure or some finality here soon. We're a lot more openness to where this is all going. Do you get that vibe or not?
Yeah, it seems like that this thing is kind of being fast-tracked in a lot of ways. You know, the Titans are talking about putting in $700 million, and I think there's $500 million coming in from the state. There's still some other money that's going to have to be accounted for, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see exactly, you know, how they come up with the additional funding, but things are pointing in the right direction.
Do you still feel like 2026 is the target calendar year at some point from January to December in 2026 that this is when they want this, you know, up and ready and available?
Yeah, I think that that's kind of where we are in this. I think that's kind of been the target date all along. Now, obviously, I think what they would want to do is have that thing ready and rolling in time to secure a World Cup bid. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because I think the World Cup is probably a lot earlier in the year than the, you know, football season. But who knows? I mean, because once you get into construction and things like that, you're at the mercy of a lot of things. You're at the mercy of the weather. You're at the mercy of, you know, people being able to take the bids and then do things in a timely manner. So there are a lot of things that go on with that, but that is the target date of 2026.
Terry, the Predators are going to have their presser with general manager and head coach coming up at 11 o'clock and kind of the end of the year. And it's going to be a little bit different press conference than they've had over the years. Probably, as I said yesterday, going to feel a little bit more like Ryan Tannehill's press conference. It's going to be longer than 17 minutes, but he got peppered pretty good. And I suspect they're going to get peppered pretty good as well. You know, one of the things that Adam Venkin put out on The Athletic right after the season ended, when they lost to the Avalanche, is talking about there needs to be, you know, they've got a group. Obviously, the Titans ownership is a family. The Predators ownership group is a group. And that somebody needs to be kind of pushed to the forefront. And Herb Frisch, and somebody needs to talk. There needs to be a voice heard from the ownership group. The reason I'm bringing this up is I just want to know, I've said on this show, Amy Adams-Strunk, well, she's never come on the show. I've never even met her. I've never had the, you know, I've never been in the same setting around her where we've actually been able to meet. But I've also said she's a better owner than her father. You know, whether she's uncomfortable hearing that or wanting to talk about it, just I was going to say it's a fact. It's my opinion. She's a way better owner than her father. But she also doesn't speak a lot. She is visible. She's more visible than her father. What do you think is the right balance? And do you think she should be made more available to the public and to the fans and to the media? Or how do you feel on that front?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, I guess we got a little bit spoiled early on, you know, with Bud Adams here. Because, like you said, you know, Bud, you know, did some things that were good for the team, good for Nashville, did some things that kind of made you scratch your head. But the one thing about Mr. Adams, you know, was that he was kind of elderly in years, and a couple of us had, you know, been able to get access to his phone number, and whatever things kind of got off the rails or you needed a comment, you could contact him and kind of, you know, get what you wanted, get what you needed from him, and, you know, maybe you sidestep some of the channels that you normally would operate through, like your relations department.
And they would get ticked about it, yep.
But, you know, those things were, you know, could be done, you know, when he was the founder and the owner of the team. And you know, that's certainly, you know, when you're an NFL team, you've got to try and, I guess, you want to keep things as close to the vest as possible and only disseminate the information that you want out there. I would like to see Amy Adams Strunk made available more often, honestly, because I think that it's a situation where when you are the owner of a franchise and you are, you know, taking public money from the state and all to fund a new stadium, I think it's your job to do more than just set out a press release and say, hey, you know, thank you for this, we're all in, you know, that sort of thing. I think you do need to answer some questions and be accountable. That said, you know, they do, you know, she sometimes mills around like at training camp and things like that, and you'll be able to talk to her in passing, and, you know, and if you go through the proper channels, you know, sometimes you can, you know, get an interview with her or, you know, or statements from her. But overall, yeah, I would agree. I would like to see, you know, something a little bit more than what we're getting now, something a little less than what maybe the people in Dallas get with Jerry Jones being, you know, an attention hog.
Yeah, I'm not asking for Jerry Jones, you know, to do an hour a week, do a, you know, a weekly hour. But, I mean, I do think, one, I think when you do get, you know, the clips, you know, they love to put out the clip of, you know, her, you know, Mike Vrabel introducing her to the rookies, and all that stuff is great. Like, she seems like a really likable person. And I know that most times organizations, they cringe, right? With ownership, they're always on pins and needles because, oh my gosh, what is the owner going to say? What are they going to say? They're always freaking out over it. But I think she would be just fine. And it doesn't mean that she's got to be all over the place, but I do wonder, I just wondered how you felt if maybe there was a little bit more to give, because I feel like people like her when they're around her, but just it's just a matter of who's able to get around her.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little more access than just an appearance at some of these fan gatherings and season ticket holder gatherings and things like that, where you know that the narrative is going to be all cushy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
one thing.
Yeah. Treylon Burks signs his rookie deal. What did you make of that? And just two, how do you think he's going to handle the pressure that's now been thrust on him? And he's not going to be able to get out from underneath it. Everybody's going to compare his numbers to A.J. Brown. He's expected to replace A.J. Brown. He's expected to do this. And, oh, by the way, he's a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be monitored very closely, and it's going to be watched by fans, by every, you know, fantasy football guru and all these analytics people. Everybody's going to be watching what Treylon Burks does. And, you know, quite honestly, it's not really fair to Treylon Burks because, you know, I wrote a couple of weeks ago when they drafted him and made the trade for, you know, and traded A.J. Brown away, that under normal circumstances, if this kid came in and caught 45 passes and had 700 yards receiving, you'd accept that, no questions asked, and say, that's a pretty good rookie year for this guy, wouldn't you?
Yep.
But if he does that, that's going to be far short of what A.J. Brown has given them in the 3 years that he was here, and everybody's going to be pointing at him and saying, well, he's no A.J. Brown. Boy, they messed that up. This kid's no A.J. Brown. And that's really not fair to him because he's his own player. He's his own man. He's got to come in and carve out his own role, whatever that may be, whether that's, you know, being A.J. Brown or being like Corey Davis or whatever. He's got to carve out his own role on this team. And to compare him to A.J. Brown right off the gate, right out of the gate before he's ever caught the first pass, you know, is certainly grossly unfair. It kind of, you go way back, it's kind of like how, you know, the Yankees looked for years to find somebody to replace Mickey Mantle. Well, guess what? There was not another Mickey Mantle out there.
Terry McCormick is with us. Terry, I got one more on the stadium here. I just was curious, and I don't know if this will be spelled out at all. But we started kicking this around and sort of just stumbled on this thought. We all are sort of envisioning not having a retractable roof, but possibly, quite probably, I guess, if it's going to be built, it will have a roof with windows and airflow and things like that. And if you do that, it's probably going to have to be the synthetic turf. Nothing wrong with that, but we were sort of asking the question, how does that affect or not affect the World Cup possibility?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't pretend to know, you know, all the qualifications and the, you know, specifications that the World Cup requires, but my guess is they would probably prefer to play it on grass. But the truth of the matter is, you know, if it's a high quality venue and it's state of the art, I would think that the World Cup would probably be willing to at least somewhat overlook that in order to be able to play in a brand new building that is state of the art and you know, would be one of the best facilities in the entire country. So my guess is that, you know, the World Cup might, even though they probably would prefer to play on grass, I wouldn't think it would be a total disqualifier if the stadium has field turf.
Any, what's your concert you're going to see this summer? Any show you're going to take in?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years since I've seen a show. You know, something might catch my fancy here, and I might take off and go. The last thing I saw was ELO back a couple of years ago when they were at Bridgestone. Mm. Excellent show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a big fan.
Well done.
I'm a big fan.
Well done.
By the way, I'm going to throw this out there to you, and you guys take it and run with it. Do what you will with it regarding the stadium. Okay, there's talk, obviously, that there's another $700 to $800 million that, you know, has to be come up with in order to make this a reality. And unfortunately, I'm just a little bit short of being able to write them a check for that.
Yep. Keep working hard, though.
Yes, yes. And but here's a thought. And I know that we live in an age where when people think dual-purpose facility, they harken back to trash heaps like the Vet and Three Rivers and Riverfront that were just awful places to play baseball or football. But if Nashville is going, or Nashville and the state of Tennessee are going to kick in money and they're going to help build a new stadium for the Titans, this probably really does put a crimp in any thought of building a Major League Baseball stadium and having a Major League Baseball team, whether that be an expansion squad or the Rays, the A's, whoever, to come here. But you would think that in the times that we live in with the technology, that if you're spending this much money on a stadium, could you not configure it in a way that it could easily be converted from a 65,000-seat football stadium to a 45,000-seat baseball stadium and still have a lot of the amenities that you would want? You know, and my thought would be go ahead and have a retractable roof. But if the Titans are kicking in $700 million, why wouldn't you go to the A's or the Rays and say, hey, come kick in $700 million on this new stadium and you can play in it?
Okay, we will discuss that. I'm glad you threw that out there, and we will come back and talk about it. Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks. Sounds good.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We will discuss that and more on the other side. DDC, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.